This is a first. I had written down Luke 21, 34 to 38 for our text today, which happens before our Lord is making his way to the cross and saying that we should be aware of our life in this world. When I was sitting at a bar in street clothes, a gentleman next to me began to tell me his life story, his ups and his downs in his life, and then proceeded to ask me about what I do employment-wise. Once he found out that I was an undercover clergy person, he asked me one question. Give me one reason why I should go to church. Giving him an untraditional response, I said, you told me your life story, your ups and downs, your hellish situations in life. Look around this pub. You ever kind of wonder what this is all about? What this all means? That is this life. I would tell you to go to church. Why? To hear about what life really is all about before God through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The truth is, much like evil, we cannot always comprehend why things happen to us in this life or why things happen around us. The psalmists knew this as their only answer to their problems was to find rest in knowing the God who has come to them and redeemed them, as we hear of it in Psalm 46, 77, and the like. But in sin, we seem to take hold of this life, believing somehow this life is all that we have, and it is what we make of this life that counts above all other things. Much like the temptation of Adam and Eve, that you can be like your own God, we are like Eve, who after temptation immediately begins to play God, such as Eve, who observes the tree as being good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and to make one wise. We believe, like the devil, that the kingdoms of this world is ours to possess and give away, forgetting that it is God who is the author of life in Christ, as we hear of it in Deuteronomy, reminding us, great and good cities you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. When you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. We must never be controlled and be captured with this life's demands, that we begin to fear people and this life more than we fear God, who has redeemed us through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Luther expresses the nature of the Christian life with these words, oratio, meditatio, tentatio, ficiunt theologum. But a more profound meaning, Professor Pless, is vivendo in memoriando damnamum fit theologus, non intelligendo, legendo, aut speculando. Living, yea, dying, and damnation becomes a theologian, not by intelligence, reading, or speculation. No doubt Luther is playing off of King Solomon's point in Ecclesiastes. King Solomon, as you know, within Ecclesiastes, points out the vanity of life. There's time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. And he goes on to show the monotony of this life. But the final answer of what life is all about is found in King Solomon's last chapter, chapter 12, that speaks about that greater life that is lived before God, given by one shepherd. However, more profound is the beginning of Luther's statement, living, yea, dying, and damnation. He notes the nature of our own depravity in this life. Many years ago, I went to visit a man who had severe depression. He was suicidal and was locked up in a ward. As I was going into the hospital, into this ward, I passed by his psychologist, who literally looked like Sigmund Freud, which is a bit scary. I entered into the parishioner's room, and he looked up to me and he says, Pastor, I don't believe God exists. Why would he allow this to happen to me? I said to him, yeah, you're right. Why? He said, I don't think I should be go on living. I said, you are right. Why should you go on living? He paused as I took any self-esteem away from him, like any good pastor does for any of his parishioners. I said, how do you know who you are? And he goes on and says, well, from God? And I said, right. I said, who is God? We made our road back to Christ, in whose name he was baptized and catechized. He knew he was not defined by his own depression and struggles, but by that greater life given and shed for him through the remission of sins. Luther says, living, yea, dying. It is through this that Luther understood that the Christian who is dying gets it. He understands the nature of life. Two things the Christian who is dying typically ponders, in my experience anyway, is that of his relationship with God and Christ Jesus and their loved ones, those who are around the bed. Why does the Christian who is dying think about God and one another as he faces death? Death is a result of sin, that is, the separation from God and our loved ones. So it is only right for the dying to think about these things, that is, their relationship with God and one another. Jesus knew this as he took upon himself the sins of the whole world, as he yells out from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But also when he was praying in the garden, our Lord says to his disciples, my soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Stay or remain with me. Don't leave me. Watch with me. Don't be separate from me. Yes, God keeps sin and death before us to remind us that first that we are not God, but also remind us what life is really about. It is about that communion, that relationship we have with God in Christ Jesus and one another in Jesus Christ our Lord. Even as we face death, we know that sin, death, or the power of the devil no longer has power over us, but that we live in this baptismal grace of ours. But we are forgetful people, so God keeps the cross before us, that we may always be reminded as we see death, we are reminded about what life is all about, that life before God and thus before one another. That's why when we're baptized into Christ's death. And also, we find in Colossians, for example, St. Paul says, set your mind on things are above, not the things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. The dying get it, but not always the people that are around the bed of the person who is dying. The pastor typically spends more of his time with the people around the bed who are obsessed with the cares of this life and the situations in which they find themselves than the person who is dying, who is reminded of what's so fundamental in life, that life that is lived simply before God and thus one another. Before our Lord's journey on the way of the Via Dolorosa, on the way to the cross, he reminds us in today's reading, watch yourself lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Today, dear Christians, we should have a glass of wine with our bitterest enemy or a disgruntled person within your own life and bring the peace of Christ to him of that greater life in which we possess within the life that is won for us in Christ Jesus. Knowing that for yourself, that Christ has overcome this world, he has died, and you have died in him, for your life is hidden in Christ, therefore one who possesses the greater life, despite the struggles of this world, we peer through these things to see something greater in life. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for prayer.